Happy Mother's Day. It is a day to celebrate incredibly influential people in all of our lives. I'm very thankful for my mother. I'll be having a conversation with her today. And also for my wife, who's the best mother I wish I ever had. She's not the best mother I wish I ever had. I wish I would have had her, actually. She's an amazing mom to my kids. So it's great to have all of us here. We're concluding our series today on rhythms, where we've been looking at things like seeing the extremity, embracing extremes, but having rhythms where we pin values to schedules. One of the values that I have that actually gets pinned to my schedule, and you can see it reflected in my weekly rhythms, monthly rhythms, and annual rhythms, is to reproduce myself. I want whatever God has given me to play out in other people's lives. I want to reproduce any gifts He's given me and try to grow other people. So last weekend, this weekend, is somewhat of a display of that. Last weekend, we had Terry Phillips and all those amazing people who did those little talks. How great was that last week? Didn't they do a phenomenal job? Really great. I was in last weekend. I could have done all the speaking last weekend, but I didn't, partly because I wanted to be able to be here and give Terry real-time feedback, see him improve over the run-through on Saturday night, the two Saturday night services, and also interact with some of those volunteers that were here. This week is similar. This week, I want to reproduce myself or anything that CrossRoads is doing as many churches as possible. And a number of months ago, we had some pastors from around the world come to CrossRoads and visit, people from England, Denmark, Scotland, and one guy specifically, and I hit it off really, really well. He's a pastor in Scotland, the largest church in Scotland, which Scotland is a very different country from the United States. People still here in the United States come to church out of obligation, not in Scotland. 2% of the population goes to church in Scotland. And he has the largest church in Scotland, about 1,000 people, which would be like a CrossRoads size or larger size church here in America. And we start interacting on things that we've done to help them with their infrastructure and their ideas and systems. And he ended up coming over here, came here on Tuesday, and has been following me around on my rhythms all week. All the meetings I go to, he's gone to. He's been staying at my house. The different things that he wanted to interact with people around CrossRoads. And in the process, he was also able to come and speak up in meetings and give us insights on things that we needed to hear and give some sharpening. It's been a really, really great thing and an exercise of reproducing ourselves. And so that's what he's going to do right now. He's going to come and he's going to talk about communal rhythms to close our series out and build into us right now. Please welcome my good friend Carl. Carl's Bad Martin. Yes.
Good job. One of the things that's been interesting showing up in the States is that I obviously know my culture really well, but I'm just beginning to learn, hanging around with Brian Tome, learning something of the culture of Cincinnati. I've got a head start because there's a girl who's on my staff who's from Louisiana. And she says some really weird and strange things to me all the time. So after I preach, if I preach a good sermon, a good talk, she'll come up to me and say, "Pastor, that dog hunts." I've just no idea at all what she's saying. But she said, "No, wait, when you go to Cincinnati," I'm always ripping her about her accent. "When you go to Cincinnati, Pastor, very important, don't you be calling them no rednecks." I said, "But I think they might be rednecks because the pastor drives a pickup." She said, "Oh, no. The fact the pastor drives a pickup doesn't make him a redneck. It just makes him a man." So I've been hanging with the man, Brian Tome, all week, and it's just great to be here. Let me just introduce myself a little bit. My name's Carl. I pastor a church in the center of Edinburgh. 70% of my congregation are under 30, and I live with 5 blonde women. Oh, yeah. I have 4 daughters, 18, 16, 14, and 12, and I'm beginning to believe in arranged marriages. So if anyone wants to apply after the service, there are 3 stipulations. You need to love Jesus. You need to be wealthy because I have no pension. And you need to be physically, emotionally, and spiritually intimidated by me. Because I will break your face. Let me introduce you a heads up to some of the corporate rhythms that we have as a church community. Let's just try one. If you're with me, let's just try one. Would you, if you have a smartphone, or we call it a mobile phone, you call it a cell phone, if you take it out right now and wave it, so I can, this is participation, you can do this, I know it's early in the morning, wave your smartphone, and thank you so much, and maybe you would just take it and update your Facebook status. Okay, let's do that now. Update your Facebook status. In church, at Crossroads, some strange British dude looks like Liam Neeson's ugly double. Seriously, do it. God is here. Send it. Now, this is the rhythm that we do very often. I'd like you to take your phone, and I'd like you to turn it off. Some of you will need to work out where the button to turn it off is. And put it in your pocket and put it under your seat. I'll tell you why. Because God is speaking. And he doesn't want interrupted. He doesn't want interrupted. So let's just be quiet for a moment. And maybe just where you are, on your own, I'm not going to pray for you. You're going to pray for yourself. And just ask, Lord, would you speak to me? Would you just talk to me? Let's do that right now. Thank you, Lord. So I was at a meeting, not dissimilar to this, large building. I'm a pastor in the city called Leeds, and I'm sitting at the back, and there's a Chinese pastor who's speaking. His name is Brother Yun. He's written this book, and he's talking about all this stuff, and he has this fascinating style of speaking. He doesn't speak much English. He speaks Cantonese, and he has an interpreter. So he's saying stuff that to my uneducated ears sound like, "Hua!" And over here, the interpreter says, all of you in the city who need to come to know Jesus right now, come to the front. I mean, like he's been speaking for like 2 minutes or something, and then people start coming down the front. He said nothing. I'm thinking, this is weird. Anyway, after about 10 minutes, he says, "Hua!" This lady over here says, all of you who are church leaders in the city of Leeds, come to the front now. I hate things like that. I'm quite happy to slightly intimidate people and ask them to come to the front, but I'm not moving. So I just sit there like this. My wife looks at me. All the kind of proper pastors who look like pastors, they've walked up to the front and they're doing the humble thing. I'm just going, I'm not moving. She elbows me. You know when your wife elbows you? It's about the final straw, isn't it? I stood. As I stood, Brother Yun goes, and this lady says, all of you who have a problem with pornography, come to the front now. And I'm the only one standing. And you have one of those moments, don't you, when you think, should I sit, should I keep standing, do I do the walk of shame? I did the walk of shame. I saw members of my congregation going, Here's the thing, so often I can find myself with my timing out, with my tempo out, with my rhythm out, out of cadence with what I want to do and out of cadence with everyone else. There are times when I'm teaching on Sundays when I can be talking about relationships and honoring your kids and honoring your wife, and I could have had an argument with all five of my women on the way to church. Do you know, can you relate to that? There's times when my cadence is out, and we know because we've been talking about it that God has got a groove. He's all about rhythm. I mean, just check out creation. The tide comes in, the tide goes out. The tide comes in, the tide goes out. Night follows day, day follows night. Death follows life. And take a look at your body. This is important stuff. You breathe in, you breathe out. You breathe in, you breathe out. Your heart, if it stops, you're dead. Now, this is serious stuff. But it's even more serious if you find yourself misaligned with the creator of the universe spiritually. Because you see, you're a creation. How's it going to work if you're out of line with the Creator? How are you going to find wisdom in life? How are you going to find love in life, real love? How are you going to find purpose in life? How are you going to find life itself? Because the source of wisdom, the source of life, the source of love, the source of purpose, He's got a groove. If you're outside of the groove, how's it going to work? This is really important stuff what we're talking about. Jesus shows up. And the scriptures kind of say that He is the representation, the exact representation of the Father. He's got groove. And He lives in a certain way, and He does certain things, and He's big news for everybody. You know, He seems to talk about God as if He knows God. He seems to do the things that God would do if He was really close and around. And Jesus is deeply attractive and deeply challenging. It's like He's unpinning hand grenades and he's blowing it into people's worlds and their lives are completely disrupted, but He's showing the cadence and rhythm and groove of God. On one occasion to His followers, He says this. You'll find it in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. He says, "Are you tired and worn out?" Some of you can really relate to that. Are you tired and worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Come to Me. Get away with Me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with Me and work with Me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with Me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Jesus is saying, don't force rhythm, please. Stop striving and driving to do the right thing. That's religion living, and it will kill you, and it will kill everyone else around you, and people that you love will be deeply hurt and bashed by the shrapnel of your busted life. Some of you here today, you know exactly what it means to be hurt by religion. That's why you didn't want to do church, and you find religious talk really difficult. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't strive for rhythm, but equally He says, don't try and live free from rhythm. Don't try and live as if it doesn't really matter and you can do whatever you want and you can live in whatever way you want because you're free to do what you want to do. Some of you here today have come and what you need to hear is this. You will not lead fruitful lives. You will not lead faithful and fruitful lives. You will not make a difference in this world unless you find the deep rhythms, the intentional, unforced rhythms of grace. I mean, Jesus shows up and He starts to talk about stuff. He says on one occasion, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except they come through Me. No one can get the deep rhythms of God. No one can get the cadence of God. No one can have life in all its fullness unless they come through Me. In a world that's lost its way, I am the way, definitive." In a world where the truth is relative, I mean, it is, isn't it? It's your truth, my truth, anyone else's truth, whatever truth you want to believe. I am truth absolute you can base your life upon. In a world where life is so often a sham, you put on a face, you put on a mask, you say you're having a blast, but inside you're dying. He said, I am life in all its fullness. Jesus says there's another way. It's called the unforced rhythms of grace. It's known as discipleship. It doesn't mean just doing the things that Jesus asked us to do. It means doing them in His style, at His pace, in His way, with His grace. It's all about groove. And you know, I've tried to do everything to live for Jesus. I grew up in a kind of church family where, to be honest, the kind of description of being a Christian was that there were certain things you believed, you stacked them up one on top of another. I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and there were certain things you didn't do. You know, you didn't drink, you didn't smoke, you didn't hang around with people like Brian Tome. That kind of stuff. You just didn't do those kind of things. I grew up in that kind of, and I rebelled against it. I said, I want freedom. It's your thing, do what you want to do. I can't tell, you know, I just wanted to do my thing. And live just free. And you know, I'm not going to tell you that that's not fun because it is, but I am going to tell you that it's empty. But what I have discovered is when you find the unforced rhythms of grace, when you work out that God's got a book out, it's good. It's an international bestseller. And that he's got things he wants to teach you and train you in and school you in about life and about relationships and about who you are and who he is. When you work out that God's got a friend called the Holy Spirit who is always speaking and always guiding and always nudging and always prompting, and when you work out that this is the best way of life to find his groove, everything changes. Everything changes. Come on. We will rock you. We will rock you. Do you know there's something about rhythm, isn't there? There's something about if one or two people start doing something, it's pretty cool. But if 1,000 people start doing something, it just rocks. It's amazing. We began to realize back in the church in Edinburgh, what would it look like if instead of just me trying to learn the unforced rhythms of grace and reading my Bible and getting in touch with God and learning how to pray, what if we all did it together? Wow. What if the New Testament writers were not joking when they implied that the cadence and rhythm of your this way relationship is intrinsically connected to the cadence and rhythm of your these way relationships? What if we're supposed to do this thing together? Could a community change a community, change the world? We began to have this audacious dream. What if we did this? And then we began to check out that actually there was once a community that did this. You find it in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. And Jesus' people began to get serious about being what they called the body of Christ. Which is an audacious thing to say. To say that we're the hands and feet and mouthpiece of Jesus in this world is huge. And so they started to live in a certain way. Let's read this. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The world got changed by a group of people who began to work out what it meant to live the unforced rhythms of grace together. Daily in the temple courts, they met. They opened their homes. They ate together. They devoted themselves to God, to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. They devoted themselves to one another. Those who had need came, and those who had plenty gave. And they devoted themselves to the world. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Of course he did. Because this is deeply counterintuitive and countercultural and incredibly attractive. This is the way the people of God live. So we said, what would that look like? What would it look like if we began to pray together? So we said, why don't we pray 3 times a day as a whole community? It's happened before. This is not new. But why don't we try and do it? So in the morning, we just get together all around the city, and we read the New Testament. So I tweet it, and I blog it, and all that kind of stuff, and everyone interacts with it. But we're just reading together, and we're committing the priority, the first part of the day, to the Lord. At lunchtime, we say, why don't we just set our mobile phones, our cell phones, and have an alarm at 12 o'clock, midday, it goes off all around the place, so we get interrupted, God is here, wherever we are, and we pray the Lord's Prayer. What if at the end of the day, we do a reflection? We just think about our day and say, you know, what were the good things that God was teaching us? What were the things that we don't want to take into the next day? How do we learn from the things that God has shown us? What would it look like if we had that kind of thing? So we started just to do it. What would it look like if we began to have community rhythms? If we opened our homes, if we opened our tables, if people ate with one another and prayed with one another on a daily basis? And what would it look like if we had out rhythms that were communal? Instead of just meeting together to study the Bible and pray together and care for one another, what would it look like if we met together to transform a part of our city? So we began these things called missional communities. We have people who are focused on schools, on people groups, on women in the sex industry, on homeless people, on adults with learning disabilities, and we just begin to live together the deep, unforced rhythms of grace. You have to get intentional. Listen to a real old school British writer. This guy, this is real, I have to apologize because this is old school English, so I will read it in old school English voice. Okay? This guy's name is William Law, and he's written a book, well, he wrote a book, and the book was called A Serious Call to a Devout and Holy Life. That's not the kind of book that you would buy on Amazon today. You know, you're not going to go, oh, I want to get that one. But this guy was like a catalyst when he was writing his stuff for Wesley and Whitfield and Jonathan Edwards. They read his stuff, and God got in hold of their hearts, and it changed everything. Listen to what he says. If you hear stop and ask yourself why you are not as pious as the early Christians were, your own heart will tell you that it is neither through ignorance nor through inability, but purely because you never thoroughly intended it. Wow. So what stops us? What stops Crossroads? What stops you living these unforced rhythms of grace? Let me try some things. Natural distraction will stop you. The noise and the pace and the ambition and the clamoring of the world in which we live will stop you living the unforced rhythms of grace if you let it. You have this kind of pace that we live at, and we have some really weird philosophies. I've got no idea whether the Scottish thing is the same as the American thing, but let me try something. In my culture, the big ambition for most people is to earn enough money to buy a house in the right neighborhood to send their kids to the right schools so they can get the right qualifications, so they can go to a good college, so they can get a good job, so they can earn enough money, so they can buy a house in the right neighborhood, so they can send their kids to the right schools, so they can get the right qualifications, so they can go to the right colleges, so they can get good jobs, so they can buy. Do you see how stupid that is? And we all think that's perfectly reasonable thinking. You know, I have four daughters, and if I'm not careful, I just become the cab driver. Do you know that? My wife, when they have to do music, and they have to do sport, and they have to learn languages, and they have to go to youth group, and they have to go to sleepovers where they don't sleep, and they have to do all this kind of stuff, and you're just driving them around everywhere. And every now and again, don't you think we should just say, stop? Stop. This is crazy. It's stopping us living the unforced rhythms of grace. Someone once said to me, God moves at 3 miles an hour. Which is interesting theologically, because I'm sure he also moves at 3,000 miles an hour. But I wonder sometimes if he struggles to move at 100 miles an hour, which is the pace you're trying to live your life. Switch off. I mean, seriously, my kids are obsessed with screens. You know, you can't talk to them because they've got their phone out, they need to be in constant contact, find out what people are saying about them all the time, where people are, and all this kind of stuff. They get upset by the whole thing. Switch it off. The sociologists have got a syndrome for it. It's called FOMO. Have you heard that before? Fear of missing out. I've got a fear as well. My fear is of missing out. I'm petrified of missing out on what God wants to say to me because I'm too busy looking at a screen. I'm petrified of missing out on what God wants to do through my life to my friends and my colleagues and people around me because I'm too busy, too fast. I'm wearing my busyness as a badge of honor, and it's killing me. I am petrified of missing out on what God wants to do in my city and in my nation because on my watch, everybody is switched on. Maybe we need just to switch off. How many of you, just give me a hand, how many of you actually did what I asked you to do about your cell phone? Hands up. How many of you have been slightly anxious in the last 15 minutes about your cell phone? How many of you are not going to put your hand up whatever I ask of you? Good job. Excellent. So a natural distraction will stop you, but also something that I would call spiritual dyspraxia. Let me explain that. That will stop you walking in these deep, unforced rhythms of grace. There was apparently a terrorist organization working out of New York. Must be true, it's New York. And this was like a few years ago, and at Christmas time, they got to, these terrorists got to department stores, Macy's, Bloomingdale's, and they got hold of G.I. Joe dolls, and they got hold of Barbie dolls. The organization was called the BLO, the Barbie Liberation Organization. And what they did was they exchanged voice boxes. So on Christmas morning, little boys would be playing with G.I. Joe going, and they'd pull the ripcord and it would go, "Let's plan our dream wedding." And little girls would be doing whatever they do with Barbie dolls, you know, kind of. Mincy, I do that too well, don't I? Mincy, Mincy, Mincy. And they would pull the ripcord and it would go, "Eat, let, and die." Spiritual dyspraxia, we know it well, actually. We don't know it by that phrase. But it's the ability to say things and hear things and not act upon them. Dyspraxia is a disease. It's an inability to take the brain movements and actually translate them to your limbs. So there's a lack of coordination going on. And so often we think in churches that as long as we show up in church at the weekend at Crossroads, we read the Bible occasionally, we tithe, we give to the capital fund, and we serve in one ministry, that's it, that's our lot. We're done. We're good to go spiritually. We've got the rhythms of grace. But that's not how the Holy Spirit works. That's not what's going on. Listen, Crossroads, when the city looks at you, they will begin to experience transformation. Not primarily because they see your incredible buildings. Not primarily because they see an incredible event that you put on and you do, or because they drink your free coffee, but because they see your unforced rhythms of grace. They see the way in which you parent your kids. They see the way in which you use your money. They hear the way in which you talk about things, and they see an incredible integrity between what you say and what you do, and they think that's disturbing and attractive, and I want to know this guy, Jesus. That's what happens. Spiritual dyspraxia will stop you, but also religious fascism will stop you. Religious fascism, the concept that my way is the only way. The way in which I do it is the only way to do it. If you want to be spiritual, you have to be like Brian, or you have to be like Carl, or you have to be like one of the really spiritual people, the leaders, or you know, you have to do it in a certain way, and you have to get, you know, I spent years as a young pastor feeling that I was absolutely useless and I was possibly going to hell. Because I would hear pastors stand up in places like this and they would do two stories. Story number one will be the airplane salvation story. Have you heard that one? You know, I was sitting on a plane and just praying to the Lord, and the person sitting next to me, I just shared the gospel, and he got saved, as did his four children, and the whole family got healed. And I think, that never happens to me. Why does, you know, I always get the horrible person sitting next to me who doesn't want to talk to me about anything and spills their coffee. And then I would hear the other story. The other story is the 5:45 in the morning story. You know that one? I get up in the morning and I spend my quiet time with the Lord. It lasts 2 hours. I have calloused knees because of my prayer time. My children sometimes come down and see me. Oh, it's wonderful in our household. And I think I must be going to hell because I'm awful in the morning. You don't want to meet me in the morning. God doesn't want to meet me in the morning. You know, seriously, I'm not even sure that he wants to meet me in the morning. And yet the thing was this, it's not true. It's a piece of nonsense. There is one way to come to know God and the deep rhythms of grace. It's through his son, Jesus. It's through his life, it's through his death, it's through his resurrection. You will never walk in cadence with the rhythm of this world unless you get to know him. But there are millions of ways that you can walk with him once you get to know him. Depending upon your personality and your style and your gift and who God made you to be and your experience. In other words, God hates line dancing. He does. He hates that kind of. That's why I'll never be invited to preach in Texas. He hates that kind of. He does. God likes freestyle. He made you who he made you to serve his purposes, to love him. And so with the power invested in me by the state of Crossroads, I hereby give you freedom to groove according to the person God made you to be. You don't have to conform to any pattern that any human being sets. You have to conform to the person of Jesus, and he's got groove. What would it look like if a whole community of you said, we're going to walk in rhythm. We're going to love one another. We're going to love the Father. We're going to love the Son. We're going to love the Holy Spirit. And we're going to love this world. And we're going to do it together. God's got groove. He's groovy.
Well done. Well done. Did you watch many John Wayne movies growing up? You ever heard John Wayne?
Is that what I'm doing?
Do you know who John Wayne is?
Get off of your horse and drink your milk.
Yeah, well, you know, you're doing the pastor thing on the, you're doing the pen, you were sounding like John Wayne there a little bit. That was good. That was excellent. Now, this is the third time we've done this, so we'll do a little coaching here right now versus the other ones. Something special happened for you this one versus all of them are good. There's something special happened today, this one right here. Something, you sense something unique in the room? Was there an energy from last night? Just reflect a little bit, you and I.
I think one of the important things, if you're a preacher, preaching is a community event. So it's not me preaching, we're preaching. So if you lean in and you listen and you respond, then that changes the way in which I communicate.
There was a more of a responsiveness
here.
Which we crack on the 8:30 folks a lot, but we should probably stop that because we love you very much. Okay, all right, good. That makes sense. Now, your folks at in Scotland, are they as responsive in this service as this service was?
No. We have the culture is more conservative, but amongst our young folks, they're highly responsive. So our evening congregations would be highly responsive. You know, they would be, come on, Carl. You know, it would be kind of all this kind of stuff. But in our morning congregations, I do a very formal service. Can you believe that? Mm. And I stand behind a lectern, and I get this. Feed me. So I do. I just feed them.
So America is going the way of Scotland.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, about 2% of Scotland does any sort of setting like this.
Yeah.
America is on a fast track to be in that same sort of category. You've been around here for, 5 days or so. You've seen some of the things in our rhythms we've been in. What's it going to look like for our church or other churches as we live in a culture that's increasingly Scottish?
Mm. I think what it's going to look like is you're going to have to put less, not do it in any bad way, but you're going to have to put less emphasis on this and more emphasis on that. In other words, you're going to have to put less emphasis on the gathering and more emphasis on how you are in community out there. Because the average person in Scotland, and I guess increasingly in America, isn't just going to show up in church because you invite them to church, because they've already got an idea about what church is about and they don't like it. That's why they're not here. So they're going to have to see Jesus lived out amongst you guys before they ever set foot in a place and listen to a pastor. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. You have these things in your church called missional communities that do that. Talk about that.
So basically we said, if the vision of the church is me big, it's going to be quite big, but if the vision of the church is 750 or 800 people big, it becomes way big. So we want you to run with the dreams that God's placed in your heart, and we want you to reach the people that God is asking you to reach, and we don't want to disable you in doing that by forcing you to do a whole stack of other things as well. So your primary job is to go reach that community, gather some people around you. So we have communities who reach, for instance, adults with learning disabilities. We have a group of people who love those people, and they run something called Kaylee's. Do you have Kaylee's here?
No.
It's like a crazy barn dance. Do you have barn dances?
No.
It's kind of Celtic country music, bagpipes, fiddles, men in skirts, and dancing. You love it.
Great, wonderful. I love it. Yes, good.
Check it out online when you turn your phones back on. Seriously, so some of these guys, they struggle with this kind of environment. So the way in which we teach them about Jesus is we sing songs, we do dances, we tell stories. What we don't, they do it.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing we do.
So you've been here for 5 days, six days, something like that, 5 days. You've been in a bunch of our communal rhythms here. Is there any rhythm that you're going to take back to Scotland or consider taking back to Scotland? And what communal rhythm would you have in Scotland, having been in our culture, that you think we ought to think about implementing here?
Good question. I think the rhythm that I would love to take back, that, well, it's more of a culture thing. You guys have a culture of expectancy, a culture of dreaming big, and you have a culture of encouragement. And they're big things for our culture. Our culture is the kind of culture that if you have a big dream, everyone says, you know, don't stand up and speak. Let's just, so I will say, we're going to plant churches all over Scotland, we're going to plant churches all over Ireland, and we're going to go for it. And some of the young guys are going, come on. But most people my age and above are going, don't be so arrogant. Why would you do that? You know, so I'm coming back from here.
So you feel we as a church are encouraging of dreams and visions.
Great. And also the culture of honor you have. You know, I see in the staff the way in which you honor one another, which you talk well of one another, you encourage one another. You don't have
shut the hell up.
Apart from you, I've worked out this is love language. Obnoxious talk and physical violence are his love language.
Yes, and sexual innuendo. That's
yeah,
one
that's
of my
the other one as well. Yeah, I wasn't going to mention that, but if you've gone there, that's fine.
So some of those team dynamics and all of that stuff, you'd like to figure out how to import that. Folks, that's really important for us to hear. I mean, he sees in us a desire to go for things God wants and not limit ourselves. That's well done. That's really cool that he sees that in us as a culture. Okay, what would be important here that would be helpful for us?
I think we could really help you with a whole stack of things around culture. I think we could help you with Brian Tome's dress sense. we could help you with cultural stuff, because I think where we are right now is where you're going to be going. Our young guys, they are really spiritual, but they don't yet love Jesus. And I think that's where your young guys are going. And so we've had to learn, because of where we've been for the last 25, 30 years, how to reach people who don't want to be reached with the message of the gospel. So I think we've got some stuff we can share with you.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you
take it. Guys, I hope just give me some grace. One of the things that we would do very often in our culture at the end of a gathering is we'd ask people to respond physically. And there's something important about the rhythm of life and God where we ask you to respond physically. So I'm going to make it very, very simple. If you think God has been speaking to you in some way, shape, or form, as I have been speaking, and you would love to have more of the rhythm of grace in your life. And it doesn't really matter whether you've come to Crossroads and you don't yet follow Jesus, or whether you've been following Jesus for years and there's a little bit of dissonance in your life, or whether you're thinking, I want to be a better parent, I want to be a better friend. If God's been speaking to you today and you're saying, do you know what, I want some of these deep, unforced rhythms of grace, and I want to take a step towards the Father in this. And I'm going to invite you to stand right now, and I'd love to pray for you. Don't have to stand, but if that's what you want, if you want these sweet rhythms, thank you. So let's pray. Father, we love you, and we love the way you deal with us. We love your sweet rhythms of grace. We love the way in which you call us and draw us. And our standing here right now is just symbolic of the fact that we want it. We want more of it. We want more of you and what you're doing in this world. So would you minister to our hearts and our minds and our diaries so that we would live in rhythm and in cadence with the Creator of the world. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and bless us now. Amen.